Okay, brothers and sisters, we want to read a number of verses today, so pull your Bibles out. They aren't going to be on your verse sheet. They're from the outline. If you have your Bible, if you have it on your phone, pull it out because we're going to read some verses. So why don't we turn all together to page 19 in your booklet. And this, we're on the morning line of the human spirit revealed in Ephesians. Let's read the title all together. Being strengthened into our spirit. Okay, let's read that second part all together strongly. Being strengthened into our spirit. Okay, let's read it one more time, but this time really be strengthened. Being strengthened into our spirit. Amen. So the burden this morning is that we would see how to be strengthened into our spirit.
Amen.
So first I'm going to share a little bit about our spirit, and then Craig is going to share a lot about how to be strengthened into our spirit. So this morning, I was just impressed again that God's plan is so wonderful. We've been seeing that, right? In this training, you've been seeing God's plan. His economy is to dispense Himself into His chosen people. So God is dispensing Himself in Christ as the Spirit into His chosen people. This is for His corporate expression. And this is eventually what will head up the whole universe. This is something amazing. And the key to this in our experience is our human spirit. So, didn't you appreciate yesterday? The reality of the church, right, is in our spirit.
Amen.
And we saw that even the first day, the center of the universe and God's estimation of the whole universe, the center of it is your human spirit.
Amen.
And I enjoyed another thing about my spirit from the book called The Spirit with Our Spirit. And I just love this. I have to read this quote because this is my experience. And it may be, maybe it matches some of your experience too. At times, you may suffer to such an extent that you may begin to doubt God and doubt your salvation. But regardless of how much you doubt, one thing is within you which you cannot deny, your spirit.
Amen.
One thing is in you which you cannot deny, your spirit. You are not like a beast.
Amen.
You have a spirit.
Amen.
You have a spirit.
Amen.
And then I love this. This spirit is a trouble to Satan. Your spirit, brothers and sisters, is a trouble to Satan.
Amen.
Regardless of how much work Satan has done and is still doing, there is one thing within that he cannot touch, our spirit.
Amen.
We need to fan our spirit into flame.
Amen.
So, wherever you are this morning, if you're enjoying the training, if you're realizing that it's normal to live in your spirit and you're just enjoying it, that's wonderful. We're going to fellowship more about that, and I think the Lord will speak to that to us. If you're here and you're having some doubts, you're having some struggles, well, there is something within you that you cannot deny, and that is your spirit. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've done. You have a spirit, and Satan cannot touch it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So anyway, that's how I was encouraged to begin, because this is my experience. I have a spirit.
Amen.
It's the most real thing about me, and I love it.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what I've been through. It doesn't matter what failures I have. I have a spirit.
Amen.
And you have a spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so let's come to the outline. This outline is wonderful. The first point says, the human spirit is composed of three parts. And it has three parts. Do you know what the three parts of your spirit are? They're the conscience, the fellowship, and the intuition. Okay, we're going to go through these three parts. Don't worry. Some of them you might hear and you think, yeah, I know what that is. Some of them you may not be so sure. But we're going to go through all three parts. But I hope what you would take away from this is that these are not just parts, like parts of a machine. They're not parts that you just put together and kind of assemble. Your spirit has parts which are actually functions. And you'll see that in the next point. Our spirit functions in certain ways. So when we talk about the parts of our spirit, we're talking about functions. Your spirit does something. So you should experience it. This is very helpful to me because growing up, I heard that my spirit had three parts. And I didn't really understand it because I don't think of myself as a circle and another circle and a circle. I just know that there are things that happen inside of me. Some that I understand, some that I don't understand. But actually, knowing that our conscience has three parts, three functions, is really helpful for the rest of your Christian life. Because these are three experiences that we each should have. Three experiences of our spirit. So the first one is our conscience. Our conscience functions to perceive right from wrong and regulates us by either condemning or justifying us. So if you have your Bibles, let's read the verses this way. I want one person or group of people to stand and strongly read Romans 9:1. Just raise your hand if you, or just stand up whenever you have it. Romans 9:1.
I speak the truth in Christ.
Amen.
I do not lie. Amen. My conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Okay. Why don't you, brothers, stand up and read that verse again? And then we will all say amen to the word of God.
I speak the truth in Christ.
Amen.
I do not lie. Amen. My conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Well, did you pick that up? It says, my conscience bears witness with me in the Holy Spirit. So the first verse says that my conscience bears witness with me. Okay, now somebody, whoever has it, stand up and read Romans 8:16. Amen! Okay, so there do you see who's witnessing in this verse? The Spirit Himself is witnessing with our spirit. So in the first verse, the witnessing is with our conscience. And then in the second verse, the witnessing is with our spirit. This shows us that our conscience is part of our spirit. And then in the last verse, how about someone stand up and read Psalm 51:10.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Amen.
And renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Amen. So that word steadfast can also be translated upright or right. So to have a right spirit is to have a spirit that is right with God. Right with man. This is a function of the conscience. So, I think we are all somewhat aware that we have a conscience. I hope so. But I was really impressed getting into this, that our conscience and our experience of our conscience needs to be strengthened. So the way that our conscience needs to be strengthened is we need to have a... it's not by me standing here and giving you a list. I could give you a list of things that you should confess. Things that you're wrong in, things that I'm wrong in. But that could just be a kind of an outward teaching. What you really need is you need the sense of the Spirit in your spirit witnessing with you, shining on you, and enlightening certain things, and exposing certain things, and showing you, actually, in this matter, you're not right with God. In this matter, you're not right with man. We need this kind of inward operating of our conscience. This should actually be very, very normal. So I was, this morning, I just had to confess certain things. And as I was confessing to the Lord, the Lord just kind of shined. I was confessing something and then actually he realized, okay, there's something a little deeper and I need to confess that. And at first I confessed something I did, but then I had to confess the fact that I'm not absolute enough toward God. I had to confess that to Him. I said, Lord, I am not, but I take Your blood. Thank You for cleansing me. Lord, thank You, You are what I am not. So I just have to confess When we confess, actually, that gives God the way to come in. So I was really encouraged by a testimony I heard recently of a brother who spent some time confessing. And as he confessed, he had more to confess until he realized there was a deep need to confess. And even he spent several hours confessing his sins because he realized, I've been living in a way in which my conscience has been, there's been things that come between me and God, sins, but I haven't taken care of it. So he realized there's a need to confess, actually for a long time. But then after that, after confessing and confessing and following the sense of the Spirit, eventually his testimony was there was just joy. Actually, just joy for a period of time. He was up really late and he stayed up really late and then he couldn't sleep afterward because he was just so happy in the Lord. This is a normal experience. When we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then He comes in as the life supply. So Craig pointed me to a very, very wonderful matter from the book Experience of Life that I really enjoyed. When your conscience is operating, that's actually an announcement. It's a preliminary announcement that grace is coming. In the Old Testament, when you heard the law and you heard the demand of the law, you just thought, I have to do it! And then you couldn't do it. But in the New Testament, when there's a little shining, when you have a sense, I need to confess something, that's actually God working so that you can just cooperate with Him, agree with Him, and say, yes, Lord. Yes, You're right. I confess. I take Your blood. But that's so that He can dispense life to you. That's so that He can fill you with grace. It's not just for you to be under a demand. So this matter of the conscience doesn't just place a demand upon us. It's actually a way for us to experience His grace. This is the function of the conscience. Okay, the second function is our fellowship. This says the point B. The fellowship in our spirit is our communion with God and makes it possible for us to contact and worship God. Okay, who has John 4:24?
God is spirit.
Amen.
And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truthfulness.
Amen. God is spirit. We need to worship Him where?
Spirit.
In spirit. So if we're worshiping Him and we're not in our spirit, we're not really worshiping Him. So we need to contact Him in our spirit. How about Romans 1:9? Who has Romans 1:9? Amen. 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 So if two of you stand up, you can both read it together. It's okay. Did you catch that? Where did Paul serve? In his spirit. Actually, to serve God is our real worship to God. So to serve God apart from our spirit is not really serving God. Then this last verse, Ephesians 6:18. Amen.
Every time in spirit.
Amen. All the saints. Amen. Okay, so the key phrase here is praying at every time.
In spirit.
Amen. Okay, praying at every time.
In spirit.
Yes, if you're not praying, if we're praying, we need to exercise our spirit to contact God. That's what prayer is. And actually, if we're doing that, then we'll be supplied. This is something that I started to realize when I was about your age. That I had prayed for a long time in a way that made me tired. I prayed for a way in a long time that I didn't like. My parents asked me to pray at dinner, and I did not want to pray at dinner, so I said, well, okay, I'll think of some things to pray, and just didn't like it. But that's because I wasn't using my spirit. If you pray in spirit, you touch the Lord, and you get supplied. And I've had real experiences of knowing that the more I pray, the more I want to pray. And the more I pray, the more I get supplied. The more I get inwardly strengthened. So, brothers and sisters, we need to pray at every time in spirit. And this is something that needs our exercise. Craig will share about this more. But we need to push ourselves a little bit. Maybe you pray, and everyone goes around and prays in a circle, and you pray something. And then you may inwardly feel like, okay, good, check. Now I can just wait until we're done praying. I prayed. No, don't pray that way. That's not prayer in your spirit. When you pray, you should be very active in your inner being. There should be you should be exercising your spirit to pray. The Lord wants to pray something, and He wants you to cooperate with Him. But if you're not active, there's no way to have a sense. What should I pray for? Maybe the Lord wants to lead you to pray for something very specific that you would never have thought of, but you don't hear it because you think, well, okay, I prayed once. Good. Now I can wait. So don't pray that way. Pray it every time in spirit. We need to push ourselves a little bit. Maybe you're just used to praying once. Well, maybe push yourself to pray twice. Push yourself to pray three times. This is something that needs our exercise. This is something that needs to be built up. Okay, and the last point is C. The intuition in our spirit, it's a direct sense of God. It's a direct knowledge of God. And it enables us to sense the will of God directly, regardless of reason, circumstances, or background. So the last verse we'll read is 1 Corinthians 2:11. Whoever has 1 Corinthians 2:11.
For who among men knows the things of man?
Amen.
Except the spirit of man which is in him. In the same way, the things of God also no one has known except the spirit of God.
Amen. Okay, brothers, one more time and we'll all stand with you again and say amen. Amen.
The spirit of man which is in him.
Amen.
In the same way, the things of God also no one has known except the spirit of God.
Amen. There's something within you that was created by God to have a direct sense of God Himself. The conscience is God speaking mainly in the matter of right and wrong. The intuition is God speaking in the feeling of our conscience. That's not in the matter of right and wrong. It's the direct feeling of God Himself. So, the last point, I'm going to develop this a little bit with the last point, because the last point is that we need to deal with our conscience so that all the parts of our spirit can operate normally. So, maybe an example of this would be, many of you probably recently went through the experience of choosing what college to go to, right? What university. So I went through that experience. But you have to know that when I was going through that experience, although I was regenerated, I was very far from the Lord in my heart. My heart was fully occupied by other things. I was not living a life actively with the Lord. My conscience was defiled with sin. So I knew, okay, I'm going to choose a college. So I should probably pray about it. I've heard that's a good thing to do. I see other people doing it. And I guess the Lord's going to tell me something and he'll let me know which college to go to so I don't make a mistake and go to the wrong college and mess up my life. So I thought, okay, I need to pray. So I would pray, Lord, where should I go? What should I do? Lord, what am I doing? And the more I prayed, the less clear I didn't have any idea what God's will was. I had no idea. And this is because I hadn't been taking care of my conscience, number one. I wasn't taking care of my conscience, where God's sense is. And so because of that, my fellowship with the Lord was interrupted. I wasn't having fellowship with the Lord. I wasn't talking to the Lord. I wasn't spending time with Him in a regular way. And so I wasn't taking care of my conscience. My fellowship was dull. I wasn't spending time with contacting God. So how would God be able to speak something directly to my intuition? How could He? even if he did, how could I hear it? How could I? So eventually, I fellowshiped with some brothers and sisters. I prayed with my parents. Eventually, the Lord did lead me, but I realized I had very little idea what was going on. And it seemed to be just like, well, I guess I'll choose this one. This seems the best. Well, then I can think of another experience, though. At the end of college, I was deciding what to do after college. And I had a couple of different options. And at this point in my life, I had very definite experiences of the Lord speaking to my conscience and of clearing up things with the Lord. So toward the end of college, I went to a training, and I hardly got anything out of that training, but the Lord did speak something that stirred up my conscience, and I just realized the Lord has been loving me and taking care of me, even though I've turned my back on Him many times. And I just repented. I just repented to the Lord for my motives, for my actions. And then when I did, the Lord came in and just was more and more sweet. And then out of that experience, I decided, okay, I'm just going to spend some time to pray with the Lord. Pray every day. And it was kind of about a certain matter, but really I was just praying. And I just started to open to the Lord and come to the Lord daily. And then through that, my fellowship with the Lord became more active. Started to have a contact with the Lord, a living touch with the Lord. And then, eventually, it was just very clear. The Lord had a way to clearly speak to my deepest part. Josiah, you need to drop the direction that you're going, and you need to go to the full-time training. It was a very good direction, I thought. It made sense. I had a plan. It all lined up. I had figured everything out. But the Lord said, you need to drop that, and you need to go to the full-time training. And it was very clear. And I didn't have I realized this is the Lord speaking to me. And I just have to do it. And it was joyful because the Lord supplies, as He speaks to us. That's where His supply is. So, anyway, that's the, so the point here is we need to deal with our conscience in order for our fellowship to be, living with the Lord, and we can sense God's will directly. Anyway, that's all I'll share, and I'll turn it over to Craig.
How about, let's say something that Josiah said, something that he said that I like very much. I wish we could, let's all say it together. Let's say, I have a spirit. I have a spirit. Okay, so we've been enjoying this spirit very much, so let me ask you a question. Is your spirit, is it an organ, or is it a man? Huh? Both. Good. Amen. But if you were not saved, if I asked you that question, would your spirit be an organ or a man? Organ. Good job. Amen. Right? If you were not saved, there'd be no man in your spirit. There wouldn't be a person in your spirit if you're not saved. But when you invited a man in, the place he came into was your human spirit. So now you have an inner man. So okay, so let's all say that. So let's say my spirit is my inner man. Let's say that. My spirit is my inner man. Okay, tell your neighbor, your spirit is your inner man. Your spirit is your inner man. Okay. So let's read Roman numeral. We've been hitting this point a number of times, and I'm really glad we keep coming back to it. Our spirit is our spirit. We need to take the spirit as our life and our person, because there's a man in our spirit, the one that we love and the one that we've been enjoying, the one that's making his home in our heart. I enjoyed thoroughly our singing today. I hope you all did, and I hope we have some more of that kind of singing. We will. Amen. So let's read Roman numeral 2 together. We need to be strengthened into our spirit, inner man, in order to experience Christ, church, the body of Christ. Okay, who has memorized Ephesians 3:16? Someone who has it down pat. I know somebody's got it down. Okay. Anybody? Any volunteers? So I hear pointing somewhere. What's the brother's name? Stand up. Okay, lead us to echo prayer read Ephesians 3:16. Lead us to echo pray read. Do the what Peter called emphasis reading.
Amen.
We'll follow whatever he says.
Amen. That he would grant you.
Oh, that he would grant you.
Oh, that he would grant you.
According to the riches of his glory.
Oh, the riches of his glory.
Oh, the riches of his glory. To be strengthened.
Into the inner man.
Into the inner man. Amen. Very good, brother. Thank you. It was good. Do you feel strengthened? I feel strengthened. Wait, do we read Roman numeral 2? Did we do that? Yeah, we did. Okay, let's read 8. Today, there are two men in us, the outer man with the soul as its life and person, and the body as its organ, and the inner man with the spirit as its life and person, and the renewed soul as its organ. Okay, and let's read B2, and then I'm going to do a little illustration. Our outer man
is often stronger than our inner man.
Amen. So how about let's have Kendrick and Matthew come. Kendrick to Matthew, all four of you brothers, come up here. We're gonna illustrate this a little bit. So Matthew is going to be the spirit.
Amen.
Okay, how about you, brother, stand right here. Okay, Peter, you will be the mind. Okay? Franz, you will be the emotion. Okay. And then Kendrick. Okay, how about let's have Kendrick in front. You are the will. Okay, so these brothers, how about you guys kind of face each other? How about you guys all like lock arms, okay? You lock arms around this guy, the spirit. He's the inner man. Okay? So now let's hit a hypothetical situation. Let's say a song is called. Okay? But who's the mind? Franz, you're the mind?
Yeah.
Okay, so this song is called, and you don't know what song it is. It's not a familiar song. So your mind activates, okay? So this is a person who is led not by their spirit at this point in time, unfortunately. They have an inner man, but it's not so strong. Not so strong, but a very strong mind. This strong mind says, huh? I don't know this song. It starts to move. And then like he's dragging, you know, the whole tripartite, the mind is just taking the lead. I don't know about this song. Is this a good song? Maybe it's not the right song for this time. Okay, so he's just dragging the whole, and then the emotions get stirred up. I don't like this song. I'm not so happy. I'm kind of sad. He's just dragging this whole thing over here. And this will says, I'm not even going to sing this song, right? So in the meantime, the spirit is like, man, he's just dormant. He's just not a lot's going on here. And the spirit, not a lot of conscience, not a lot of fellowship, not a lot of intuition, just a little weak. So what does he need to be? He needs to be strengthened. So maybe somebody, maybe Jonah sitting next to him, starts to pray for this brother who's getting led all over. He's in the heap of collapse being led by the mind, emotion, and will. But this brother gets strengthened.
Amen.
He says, Lord Jesus.
Lord
Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. There's a little inward strengthening. Maybe he has to inwardly repent about something. And then he says, maybe he has to repent about his feeling about the song. And say, Lord, maybe the words start to touch him. Maybe there starts to be a little fellowship. Maybe the song is, I long for fellowship in spirit. Maybe starts to have inward longing. Okay, so now what happens? All of a sudden his mind starts to follow the spirit. Okay, so now the mind is going to start following the spirit. Okay? Now the mind is starting to think, you know what? This song reminds me of some Bible verses that I know. There's fellowship. The fellowship is a joint participation. Okay, so now the mind is falling, and now the emotions. I like this song. This song is helping me. I long to touch the Lord. There's a longing. I love the Lord Jesus. Okay, now the will is like, I'm not just going to sing. I'm going to pray. I'm gonna strengthen the meeting. So now there's this whole person. He's headed up now. This is actually, you hadn't wanted to know about being headed up. This is to be headed up. It's for your spirit to be strengthened to take the lead. And these three parts of your being, including eventually your body, is even going to follow this whole situation. This is to be headed up. This is how the Lord heads up the universe, by strengthening our spirit. Amen. A little turn, a little dealing with our conscience, a little fellowship with the Lord, and our whole being gets lined up, okay? This is to be strengthened into the inner man, okay? Thank you, brothers. That's a good illustration, right? I think it's very helpful to see. And this is happening all the time. All the time. We're having experiences where, you know, part of our being just starts to activate quick. You know, it's like we all have mind, emotion, and will. And Brother Nee describes us like, you know, some people walk differently. Some people walk with their nose. And if they hit something, boom, they hit the nose first, right? Because their nose takes the lead in their being. Some people, you know, they hit with their knees. So it's like your mind, emotion, and will are stronger. My emotion is the strongest part of my being. I'll get emotional. If something goes wrong, it's just my emotions just get stirred up. But so we are learning. We are in a training. What are we being trained to do? To exercise a different part of our being. So our whole life, we've been walking. Either our mind has been taking the lead, our emotion has been taking the lead, but you are all being trained to live in a way that nobody else on the earth is living. You think about it. Everybody else on the earth, some people are being led by their body. Their body's desires govern their whole living. Some people are being led by their emotions. So many people are being led by their mind. But how many people are on the earth who the spirit is the leading part of their being? That is to head up the universe, to let the spirit take the lead. So, anyways, I just feel like it's very, very helpful to see these things. So let's keep reading this outline. Let's read, how about sisters read 1, brothers read 2. To our spirit. Amen. Brothers.
The secret to the operation of this power and the strengthening of our spirit is that we need to be desperate.
Amen. We need to be
desperate,
not indifferent. Are you a little bit more desperate because of this training?
Amen.
Amen. Good. So what are you going to enjoy? The operation of this power is in those who are desperate. Okay? And now let's read. Let's just keep going. I'll read you 3. It says, on the one hand, it is through the Spirit that our spirit is strengthened. On the other hand, we need to cooperate with the Spirit by exercising our spirit. So on the one hand, trying God, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that ascended Christ to the highest place, that seated him and put everything beneath his feet and caused him to head up the universe, is just waiting to be applied to your being, right? The entire trying God is just waiting to strengthen you. But on our side, there's a need for what? Exercise. You know, this portion that Josiah read from the book Experience of Life is awesome, because what it says is the sense of the conscience comes. This sense comes, and there's an announcement of grace. But we have to respond by faith. All we say is, Lord, you're right. Lord, I was wrong. That's a response by faith. It's just to, you know, the woman at the well, right? It's a famous story. The Lord came to her, and he confessed for her, right? He said, go get your husband. What did she say? She said, I don't have a husband. And what did the Lord say? He said, yeah, that's right. You've had 5 husbands, right? So he confessed for her, and what did she say? What was her response? What was her amen? Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, right? So she said amen. That was her amen. It wasn't a very strong amen, but you know, she drank the living water, right? So we just need a little amen to the Lord speaking. Say, Lord, you're absolutely right. You just respond in faith. Lord, I don't know if I even have the supply to respond to this demand, but when you supply, the grace starts to flow. We just respond by faith, and grace starts to flow in. So we need to cooperate. Confession is a cooperation. I really appreciate Josiah sharing and that the one brother's testimony that he brought up. There was a cooperation with the Spirit that was shining. And when we cooperate, the Spirit operates, right? Cooperate, and the Spirit will operate. So, okay. So now, in order to be strong, or for our spirit to be strong, it must be exercised, which is a matter of habit and forcing ourselves. Okay, funny question. How many of you all do Pilates? Sisters, anyone? No, okay, everyone's ashamed. It's okay. I've done some Pilates. Okay, there is a phrase in Pilates called your powerhouse. If you ever do Pilates, the instructor will say, you have to engage your powerhouse. Do you know what that is? It's your core. So as you're doing whatever exercise, you can do it in a way where your core is not engaged. You can sit without your core being engaged. You know, you can. Anyways, I'm not going to do any exercise right now, but you know, it's bodily exercise profitable for a little. But anyways, so you can do things without engaging your core. You just don't think about it. You don't think about your core being active. But it's a forcing when someone says, engage your powerhouse. You know, the instructor, engage your powerhouse. Whatever you're doing, it's a conscious effort to activate, to stimulate this muscle that you're just not thinking about at that time. You don't have a vision. You don't see that you need to exercise it. But when someone helps you to realize, you need to exercise that part of your being to strengthen your physical body. So your spirit is that kind of way. It's a habit. So it's always, you know, impressive to meet someone that has a good habit of the exercise of the spirit. It's very impressive because they just have a consciousness. It's like someone that has good posture. Someone that has good posture, everyone straightens up, right? And we're all working on our posture, right? But it's very impressive when you see someone with good posture. You notice they've been exercised to develop a habit. Just correct their posture and maintain. And then you can see it. You can see in their posture that there's been a continuous, a long-term exercise. So our spirit is kind of like this. It's like, oh, yeah, I have a spirit. Straighten up. All right? No, not, you know, in that sense. But it's like, oh, yeah, I can fellowship with the Lord. I have an inner man. I don't want to be dragged around by my mind, emotion, and will. I can turn to my inner man. And that's a real strengthening. Okay, so now we need to open up our mouth, our heart, and our spirit in order to fan our spirit into flame. Okay, so I want to try another exercise with you all, okay? Not bodily exercise. Okay, so I want you to call on the Lord with just your mouth. Don't think, don't feel, just use your mouth. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, Lord Jesus. A little bit too much. Just your mouth. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, good. Okay, now, second layer of, that's the first layer of opening. Okay, first layer. You're actually a little bit open right now. Maybe you don't even feel it, but you are. Okay, second layer, you need to exercise. Now, think about the Lord. Everybody think about the Lord for a second. Think about what the Lord's done for you. Think about the Lord, how he's the life-giving spirit, how he paid the price for you. Think about the Lord. Now let's call on the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Michael, what were you thinking about? You're thinking about Jesus. Okay, good answer. Right. Okay, sorry. Good. Okay, but, yeah, no, it's good. I didn't know if you had a specific aspect. Anyway, so we're all thinking about Jesus. But, so now the third layer, what's the difference? The third layer, when you exercise, open your spirit, now you're not just thinking about Jesus. You're talking to Jesus. You're contacting Jesus. You're meeting Jesus. Okay? You ready? Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Amen. Okay. So, does that help a little bit to see these different layers? Can you see the difference between these layers of opening? Doesn't it feel different to just call with your mouth, just call with your, you know, even your loving emotions versus using your spirit to contact a living person? So these are three layers, and it's really awesome. This is in the reading. But you know what happens when you have this kind of opening? A draft comes in. Did you feel the draft when everybody was calling? Did you feel the draft when we were singing? Whew, there was some good airflow. I took a combustion class one time when I was in college. And the teacher, he put some heptane on the desk, and he threw a match into it, and it burned. Ooh, cool, right? Okay, then he took the same fuel, and he put baffles. He put something to direct the airflow. And so the airflow, there, imagine like two semicircles like this. Same fuel, same fire, and then the air was sucked in and flowed in from both sides, and that fire burned twice as high, spiral, burned like that high. And it burned out fast because it burned that fuel fast because there was a lot of airflow. So, you know, with fire, the airflow is key. and you have a fire in your spirit, right? And so airflow is key. So if you're not open, there's not a lot of airflow. It's hard for that fire to get stoked up. And so, and it's really true. There's a divine and heavenly fire in the Old Testament as a picture of the New Testament. That fire had to be maintained. Did y'all know your job is to maintain the fire? You know, there's a verse that says, do not quench the spirit. You know what that means? It means if the fire department comes, you say, no, don't put this fire out. You blow on it, right? Satan is an evil fireman. He's trying to put out the fire, right? He's trying to stop the fire, but you say, you blow on it. You open up the draft in your being, and that fire just burns, right? Okay, so that's what we're doing. You know, every time when we come together to sing, and there's a song, maybe you don't like it, maybe you're not sure, you just open up that draft, and that song can just be the most burning song. So anyways, it's wonderful to let that draft in together, to open up corporately. When we open up corporately, man, there's just a wonderful air intake into this divine and mystical fire plant that we have here. I don't know what we're doing, but we're starting a good fire, right? Okay, sorry. Okay, amen. So C says, having a strong will, a loving emotion, a sober mind has much to do with having a strong spirit. I think we saw that with the illustration. Okay, so D says, we exercise our spirit by doing what? Confessing our sins, praying, and functioning in the meetings. Okay, I just want to share a little bit about something. There was a memorial recently for a brother named Benjamin Chen, and he took care of a lot of saints. It was a very impressive memorial. And there, he was taking care of a group of saints that were in a certain area in the United States, and they were under a certain influence. And the influence was that the way you exercise spirit is you... I'm in my spirit, you know, you jump up and like, that's the spirit, right? That's the spirit that's to be exercised. Everybody get on your chair and call on the Lord as loud as you possibly can. You know, so, and there's something to that. But he said, you know what, brothers? You want to exercise your spirit? You exercise your conscience. Your conscience. You jump on that chair, dance around, exercise your spirit, but you don't exercise your conscience? That's, what is that? What does it count for? Did you really touch the Lord? Is that really your fellowship with the Lord? I have to testify. I jumped on a desk one time when I was in the full-time training. We had a very release time, and I was so excited. I jumped up on the desk. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, and nobody else did it. And then I was like, I got back down and said, I'm sorry, Lord. that was not the spirit, right? I just, you know, I got excited. It was actually something in my mind, emotion, and will. And I just repented. I came back to the Lord. I confessed. I forget if I apologize to any of the trainees, but I just realized, like, Lord, that wasn't you. But the real exercise is to take care of our conscience. Amen. You know, we're so happy when you see a brother or sister go confess to someone else, to deal with their conscience. So healthy. Brothers apologize to one another. Sisters apologize to one another. We have a brother's house where I live, and sometimes there's a lack of dealing with the conscience. And it's... You know, we want them to exercise, but sometimes we realize, wow, these brothers, they really just need to apologize to one another. They need to have the sensitivity to right, to go to one another. That means your fellowship is active. Like this is what Josiah shared. You know, his fellowship got engaged. His conscience was activated. This is an everyday, normal exercise of our spirit. And so... So it's very good, you know, to be loud, and especially in a meeting like this. We need to get open. It helps us to get open. But if it's not supported and sustained by this inward dealing with our conscience, forget about it. It's just a show. It's just a performance. But if it's backed up by a genuine fellowship with the Lord that's sustained and supported by this conscience that just provides an open window for the light to come in. You know, the dealing with the conscience is likened to cleaning a window. We just need to clean this window, let the light shine in, right? So we need to deal with our conscience a lot. I would recommend the chapter that Josiah and I referenced from the book Experience of Life, chapter 6 on dealing with the conscience, especially the first two stages of the experience of life I'd recommend. Maybe if you can't take, it's a very, very, very solid, weighty book, but the first two sections, the first two stages, I would recommend that you all take that book. In at least the first two sections. It will help you for your growth in life, and it will help you to shepherd others. So we're just about at the end. You know, I just appreciate this one last verse about functioning in the meetings. It's 1 Corinthians 14:31 and 32. It says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets is subject to prophets." Right? So your spirit is subject to you, right? You, as you're dealing with, you want to share, you're not sure, but your spirit is ready to go, but it's subject to you. You have to have the strengthening, the exercise to release that spirit, to release your portion. It's that each one has in that same chapter, but it's a matter of exercising your spirit, bringing forth your spirit, and letting your spirit function. Sometimes our spirit's ready to function, but we restrict it. So we need to function by the exercise of our spirit. And so then this last point is really the goal. The goal of the whole thing. The goal of this whole line. The goal of this whole training. You know, we should never lose sight of the goal. Why are you exercising your spirit? So let's read C together. "The ultimate result of our being strengthened into our inner man is being filled unto the fullness of God, which is the body of Christ, the church. The issue of our enjoyment of the riches of Christ." What's the highest aspect of the church? Say it loud. The one new man, right? That was great last night. The one new man. But how is the one new man expressed? By people who are exercising their spirit to be in their inner man. When you're in your inner man, you put on the one new man. Right, so the exercise of our spirit brings us into the enjoyment of Christ. That enjoyment of Christ is just the building up of the church. Right, so this line of the exercise of the spirit really should always bring us back to, it's not just so you can have an exercised spirit. It's not just so you can have a strong spirit. Your spirit is for the church. Your spirit is not just your spirit, it's our spirit. Your spirit is connected to my spirit. I like what one sister shared in her testimony. We drank each other's spirit. That was good. I want to drink your spirit. And I want you to drink my spirit. And that's what we do in the church. And I really appreciate what Glenn said. I don't know how many, I used to think I'd been in the church for a couple years, but I think I've been in the church a couple days, right? So based on what Glenn said, how much you've been in your spirit is how much you've been in the church. So let's just pray. Let's pray two by two. And then we'll take a break. Unless there's announcements.